They saw that Jesus wasn't there. They got into boats and they sailed across the lake to get to Capernaum. They worked to get there to get a free lunch. And Jesus says, you put an awful lot of effort into getting some bread, but you shouldn't work that hard for just one meal. Work that hard for an eternal meal.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
It's my hope that for Thanksgiving, that what we offer to the world, we offer to the community. So if you have an opportunity to serve your fellow human beings wherever they are needed, that's what we're called to do. And so that's the offering that I would ask tonight. Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 6. And we find these people who have just witnessed a miracle of God in Jesus. This passage we're about to read, it comes shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, which is told in all four of the Gospels, slightly different ways. And in John's Gospel, he explains that the people the next day went looking for Jesus because they couldn't find him. They knew he didn't leave with the disciples. And so they were confused, and they followed to where they knew the disciples were going, and they found Jesus there. And so that's where our text begins, chapter 6, verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was a little over a year ago, September 22nd, 2012. I was not yet a pastor. I was still a lay person at Pittman United Methodist. But I was a ministry candidate in the United Methodist Church. And so I had a relationship with God, and I was following what he was leading me to do. On that night, my wife, Erin, was experiencing some sharp pains in her abdomen. And so we went to the emergency room, and our worst fears were confirmed. We found out that she was pregnant, and that she was having a miscarriage. And as I sat in the waiting room while the doctors were attending to her, I cried and I prayed to God. I said, God, I don't get this. I don't understand. I just don't get it. Why? Why? What have I done? What did I do? Am I not worthy? Are we not worthy? What have we done wrong? And the word of the Lord came to me from the book of Job. Job, in his despair after losing everything he owned and his children, said, naked I came into the world, and naked I shall leave it. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that was my prayer. That was my prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As hard as it was to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, God, I don't know what it is. I don't know what this means. But I trust in you. I have faith in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today we meet some people who are looking for a free lunch. The day before they met Jesus, and Jesus fed them. But he fed them miraculously. He took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and he fed a multitude. The Bible tells us 5,000 men, but that really is only part of the story. It says 5,000 men. It doesn't count the women. It was probably closer to 20,000 people who were there. I mean, it was a big enough miracle with 5 loaves and 2 fish just to feed 5,000, but feeding 20,000, that's something. Especially if there were any teenagers there. You know? 2 teenagers would have wiped them out, I think. But they woke up the next day and they couldn't find him. And they knew he didn't go with the disciples. The disciples had gone across the lake. So they took boats and they went to Capernaum. And they found Jesus there. And they asked this question. It's an odd question to ask. They said, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When did you get here? When did you come here? They thought, they knew he didn't get into a boat. They didn't know that he walked on the water. They didn't see that. But they thought maybe he walked all the way around. How in the world did he beat us? When did you come here? And Jesus, as he often does in Scripture, he answered the question that they didn't ask. He answered this question. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You didn't come looking for me because of the miracles I performed. You didn't come looking for me because of who I am. You came because I fed you. That's why you came. And it was probably a convicting statement for them. They didn't understand. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He says, don't work for food that perishes, but work for food that lasts forever. And I'll give that food to you. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? They came. They saw that Jesus wasn't there. They got into boats and they sailed across the lake to get to Capernaum. They worked to get there to get a free lunch. And Jesus says, you put an awful lot of effort into getting some bread, but you shouldn't work that hard for just one meal. Work that hard for an eternal meal. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They came from a society that was very legalistic, and it was also a works-based theology. It was all based on what they did. It was all based on how they acted, whether they were obedient and what they did, not so much on what God did. or what God does. So they said, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? Tell us what to do. It's easy. You know, you tell me to pick up a hammer and start swinging it at that nail, and I'll do that all day long. But Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. The work of God is to believe. It doesn't sound like work. And it confused the people, I'm sure. The work of God is to believe on Him whom He sent. Just believe. That's the work. You say, that's not enough. But the Apostle Paul tells us that Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. It was his faith. You know, Ephesians tells us that it is by grace that we are saved through faith. And that faith is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not what we do. It's what we believe. Paul said that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess and believe. The work of God is that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign shewest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? They're looking for a miracle. They had a miracle the day before. They need another miracle. Really, they're kind of getting back to this free lunch thing. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Hint, hint. They're still looking for a free lunch. They still don't get it. So Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. He didn't give it to you. He gave it to your ancestors. He didn't give it to you. But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. My Father gives it to you right now. Right now. Moses isn't giving you that bread. Moses is dead and gone. Those people, they're done wandering in the desert. But God will give you true bread from heaven. He says, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The bread of God is He. He says, the bread of God is a person. It's not a thing that you eat. It's not a loaf. It's a person. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give it to us. Give it to us forever. And Jesus, one of the great I am statements of John's gospel, says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He who comes to me will never be hungry. I am the bread. I am the bread of life. What do we get from bread? What is it about bread? Bread fills us. Anybody who's ever been to a restaurant knows that you're not supposed to eat the basket of bread beforehand. Have you ever gone into the restaurant and you always say, oh, I wish I didn't fill up on bread, right? Right? Bread fills us. It's grainy. It's got fiber. And so it makes us feel full. Jesus said, I am come that they would have life, and that they would have it abundantly, that they would have it to the full. Jesus came to fill us with His Spirit. So bread fills us. Bread also sustains us. When you eat bread, it nourishes your body and it sustains you. When God provided the manna for the people in the wilderness, they'd never seen it before. And Moses told them, only gather what you need for one day. If you gather more, it will go bad. And in fact, people didn't trust in that, and they would gather a couple days worth, and whatever they had left over would get wormy and go bad and moldy. And God would get angry because they didn't trust Him. See, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, every single day, God provided for them what they needed to eat. Every single day. Except the Sabbath day. There was one provision. On the Sabbath day, they could not go out and gather. So on the day before the Sabbath, they would gather 2 days' worth. And the stuff that they gathered on the day before the Sabbath would miraculously not go bad. Anything they gathered on any other day, above and beyond what they needed, would go bad. But on the Sabbath day, they would collect it on the day before. God provided for him, but it took the faith of the people. They had to believe in him. And they had to believe in him for 40 years. And when you think about the fact that God gave them their daily bread, just what they needed, no more, no less, it really changes the color of the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Just what we need. No more, no less. Provide for our needs. And that's what God does. So bread sustains. Bread fills. Bread sustains. And bread strengthens. Bread gives us strength. There's carbohydrates in bread. And so when our body breaks them down, it gives us energy to go do things. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, one of my favorite verses. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think about Samson. Samson did the will of God. He went out and he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And he tore the gates off of a city. He killed a lion with his bare hands. And at the end of his life, he pushed on the columns and he tore down their temple and killed 3,000 Philistines. God gave him the strength to do what he called him to do. I think about in my own life. People say to me all the time, Brett, how do you do it? You know, full-time employee and full-time student, part-time pastor, husband, father, you know? How do you do it? And not just like fall over and collapse. Well, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has called me to this vocation. And so I know I'm doing what God calls me to do because I'm never without strength. I love this verse in Isaiah. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Bread fills us and sustains us and strengthens us. And Christ, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, fills our souls. He fills our spirits so we are satisfied. And when we are in Christ, all the things in the world don't seem to matter as much. All the pretty things don't shine as brightly. Because He fills us and makes us whole. Jesus Christ, the bread of God, He sustains us. He offers us everlasting life. Not life for today. Not life for this meal, but everlasting life, eternal life he offers us. And Jesus, the bread of life, strengthens us. He fills us with the strength to do the will of God. When he was sitting at the well with a Samaritan woman, his disciples said to him, "Where did you get food?" And he said, "I have food that you don't know anything about. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." The food that sustained Jesus was doing the will of God. Last year, when Aaron and I went through that miscarriage, it was devastating to both of us. I took it harder than I had before, and we had gone through two other miscarriages before. I took it so hard because I didn't expect it. It was completely out of the blue. And in March, when I was coming home from a men's retreat, and I saw her, she was driving, and she waved to me, and I thought, she wants me to follow her. So I followed her into this parking lot. She didn't want me to follow her. She was just waving. And I went in, followed her, and she was giggling. And I said, What is it? She says, "I took a pregnancy test, but it was one of those dollar store tests. And it came up positive. So now I'm going to Target to get a good test and make sure." And I'm going, "Oh my gosh, are you serious?" "Yeah." And we're laughing about it. You know, and we were very tentative with our emotions because, like I said, we've been through three miscarriages. And so we're very cautiously optimistic. But as the weeks went on and we got to 13 weeks, which we'd never done before, and now we're in the second trimester, you know, and now it was like, this is really going to happen. And everything looked great. Of course, she had so many ultrasounds. We actually filled up a little book of all the ultrasound pictures. It started as a joke, but when we got to the last page and we said, "Wow, we really filled this thing. Are you kidding me?" But they were very careful. And all along the way, we kept laughing and going, "I can't believe this is happening." And so on November 11th, we had a little boy. And we named him Isaac. Isaac Timothy. Isaac means laughter. When God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child in their old age, Sarah laughed. But it's a joyful laugh. And Timothy means honoring God, because that's what we've tried to do. And more than that, more than the faith that we had in God, God had faith in us. And so we rejoice. You know, the miscarriage last year happened right before Thanksgiving. But I still had the strength to say, "I give thanks to God for life. I give thanks to God just for being my God." This year I've got a lot more to be thankful for. But in reality, we always should be thankful to God, because God is always our God. And God provides. In the good times and in the bad times, we give thanks to God because He is God. We thank God, too, for providing for us Jesus, the bread of life, who fills us, sustains us, and strengthens us. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for Jesus, that perfect and holy bread of life. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God. We thank you for all that you have done for us, for all that you continue to do for us. For the many blessings that you've poured out upon us and the blessings to come. We praise you in the good times and in the bad times, Lord. We still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, Lord, wherever we are, let us remember that you never will leave us nor forsake us, that you are always with us, and that you love us. Let us lean on your everlasting arms. In all these things, Lord, we give you all praise, glory, and honor, now and forevermore. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.